Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you all for being here and for sticking around. I am going to talk today about a study that is called the LEAD Public Health Study. LEAD stands for Local Evidence Affecting Decisions in Public Health. And so I thought I would give a brief overview of the study to give you some background and context. I don't know why this is automatically advancing. I didn't set it up that way, but I'll have to, I guess, play back and forth a little bit, so bear with me. My apologies. I'll provide some, describe the study, give you a snapshot of our study population, and then talk a little bit about some findings from the current analysis that I'll describe in a little more detail. But first, I wanted to acknowledge my study team members and co-authors. First is the PI of the study is Ross Brownson, who's also the co-director of the Prevention Research Center in St. Louis, which is one of the ones that made it onto Elizabeth's map for her really interesting piece. Other team members, Katie Dugan, who's managing the project, Robert Fields and Carson Smith, who've done a lot of great data analysis for the project. This was a Robert Wood Johnson Foundation-funded project. They put a good amount of resources into this, and we were able to implement almost all of the aims that you see described here within an 18-month period. And then just to put this, and I have no relationships to disclose. So the background of LEAD, the idea for doing this study came out of the recognition that public health practitioners and policymakers need evidence to make decisions on how best to improve public health system performance and improve health outcomes. And this also links up nicely with Domain 10 of the Public Health Accreditation Board standards, which, of course, TULSA is very, very well experienced with. So Domain 10 is to contribute to and apply the evidence base of public health. So the four aims of the LEAD study were first to describe the evidence base for local evidence-based public health in the United States. So it's what's the evidence for the practice of public health using evidence. Test the effectiveness of local level evidence-based public health capacity building in four states, and that was through a train the trainer program intervention. Then to describe a range of local models and evidence public health. Some of this is still ongoing. We're doing some network analyses here. And then translate and disseminate findings to stakeholders. And so that as part of this first aim, in terms of describing, providing a snapshot across the country, we did a national survey. And the survey was based around five major domains. I'm really sorry about this advancing thing. I don't know what's going on here. First were demographics of local health department practitioners. Second, barriers to evidence-based public health. Third were core competencies in evidence-based decision-making. Then core components of administrative evidence-based practices. And then the fifth was the use of resources and methods for learning about the latest evidence. So really trying to dig into some details on what are the resources and methods that are used by practitioners. And so this last piece will be the focus of some of the newer part of the analysis that I'll show you further on. But just to give you a little bit more background and some of the findings that came out of the first analyses of this LEAD study, we recognized we needed some additional terminology around this study because it was hard to talk about, as I said before, developing an evidence base for evidence-based public health. It sounds very circular. And so we used this phrase of administrative evidence-based practices, which we defined as agency or health department level structures and activities that are positively associated with performance measures, such as achieving core public health functions and carrying out evidence-based interventions. And so the five core components that came out of this work in thinking about what are those administrative practices that really contribute to a well-functioning health department, workforce development, leadership, organizational climate and culture, relationships and partnerships, and financial processes. So all of these made it into the survey in various ways that we operationalized as a number of items. And I should say, if any of you are interested in seeing the full survey, come talk to me afterwards and I can give you a card, or you can jot down my email address and I'd be happy to send it to you. So when we looked at some of the data on the specific types of resources that practitioners use as far as keeping up with current findings in public health research, what floated to the top were a couple things. So first, only 26% of local health departments reported using any kind of systematic review or ranking that as one of their top three most important resources. And 33.5% were not familiar with the community guide, had not heard of the community guide. And then when we looked at how LHDs or how practitioners, the methods that they use to learn about public health findings, this is what floated to the top there. So it was primarily professional associations, seminars and workshops, email alerts, and academic journals a little further down. And then when in that group that ranked academic journals in one of their top three methods, the ones that came to the top there were American Journal of Public Health, Morbidity Mortality Weekly Report, Journal of Public Health Management and Practice, and Public Health Reports. So, and we had a little discussion about this at the beginning. When you look at what the top ranked in terms of impact factor on PubMed, the top ranked journals in public health, you don't necessarily see the same set floating to the top. So it's just interesting to note that difference of what practitioners really find useful to what they do. And so getting to the specific analysis that I'll go into a little more detail on today, the background and the purpose of this piece was based on the idea that practitioners incorporate evidence from various sources, many different sources, to make decisions on how to improve public health system performance and health outcomes. So our purpose was to increase knowledge about resources that comprise the evidence base and inform best practices in local public health administration, and look at some differences across job position and across program area. So first, to give you a little more detail on the survey itself, this was an online survey, and it was sent out to 967 local health departments. We stratified selection of the sample because we wanted a representation across size of population served, and you'll see that in some of the data. We sent four reminder emails and two rounds of phone calls, so this took a lot of effort. We had three or four people at times making follow-up phone calls. And I should say the follow-up phone calls make a big difference when you're trying to get busy local health department practitioners to fill out a survey. The first line of contact was with the local health department directors. And so we had 517 completed surveys from the directors. We then asked them to provide contacts for program managers in environmental health, infectious disease, and chronic disease, and we got 332 surveys at those split across those three program areas. We had an overall response rate of about 54%. And a total in across all those job types of 849. Okay, so this is what the overall sample looked like in terms of some demographics. So as far as age, the most prominent age group was 50 to 59 years old. Boy, I'm sorry, I wish I knew how to stop that from happening. As far as job position, 43% were the top executive or health department directors. And of course, you know, again, going back to the methods that we use, this was by design. So this isn't really reflecting any prevalence across job positions in local health departments. As far as educational level, only 16% had any kind of had a Master of Public Health degree, although the majority had some kind of advanced degree. And then the average number of years working in the current position was about 8 years, and the average number of years working in public health was a little over 18 years in this sample. And then you can see the distribution across census region in terms of Northeast, Midwest, Southwest. The Midwest and the South were a little more likely to be represented in this sample. In terms of distribution across population size, due to our stratified sampling scheme, you see a good representation across the five size groupings. And of course, this largest grouping of 500,000 or more of the population size is the smallest group, and so we didn't get as many there. And then in terms of governance structure, we also tried to get a good representative sample across governance structure, and this is more or less similar to what you see in like the NACHO survey, where they actually take a more census approach to all local health departments in the U.S. The vast majority are locally governed, and then some state governed and some shared governance. Okay, so when we ask them about specific resources when they make decisions about programs, policy, or funding, these were some of the things that came to the top. I think we had about a dozen resources that we listed, so I didn't list everything here because after about the seventh one, they really dropped off in terms of the number of people that ranked them in their top three. So the ones that came to the top, the most prevalent was guidance from funders, and then guidance from the state health agency, perspectives or priorities of agency leadership, and then things like health planning tools such as MAP or Healthy People 2010, success stories and lessons learned from peers was up there, and then after that, a little further down, things like systematic reviews using the community guide is an example, and scientific reports such as IOM reports, Surgeon General reports. And then this is what we found when we asked about methods of learning about current research findings. And there were about, I think, 15 that we asked about here, and this is the top seven or eight before things kind of dropped off. So seminars or workshops was number one, then professional associations, email alerts, and then academic journals, academic conferences, newsletters, policy briefs, other conferences, and press releases. Okay, so once we sort of looked at how these rankings came out, we also were interested in looking at differences by job position. So looking at the top executives versus administrators and managers of divisions or programs. And see if there were any distinctions in how these different job types within a local health department sought resources for research evidence. And we did find some distinctions. Now, not all of these are statistically significant, and then the double asterisk is sort of adjusting the critical p-value for the large number of contrasts that we're making here. But you do see pretty clearly that there are some big differences. So it seems like overall the top executives rank higher some of the more evidence-based resources, but also, you know, other resources in general. So there's no clear pattern other than that, I think, that really comes out of this. But you see some of these things that were at the top in terms of top resources. People at the administrative level are actually least likely to use some of the more evidence-based tools and resources, which, you know, we can talk a little bit more at the end about why that is, or if that's surprising at all. It probably isn't very surprising when you think about the type of work that the people in the different job positions are doing. And then again, a similar type of pattern across job position in terms of the methods for learning about research findings. At least in the local health departments, the top executives seem to be the ones that are most likely to rank some more evidence-based resources. Now, this, I think it's important when we're looking at these kinds of data to keep in mind that, you know, local health departments are very varied, and I think, you know, so in contrast to state health departments, we might see a very different pattern here, and I've seen some other data that does suggest that, so that you see actually people more at the program management level tending to use more evidence-based resources than people in the top administrative positions. I think in a lot of local health departments, things operate differently, so the people in the top administrative positions are often driving program development. Okay, so then since we had these surveys by program area, we thought it would be interesting to see if there were differences across program area in how practitioners used evidence. And just to emphasize, this is the smaller subset of the overall data set with 332, and they're more or less equally distributed across the three program areas. And so what we found here that seemed interesting was that those practitioners in chronic disease seemed more likely to use things like health planning tools, systematic reviews, and scientific reports than practitioners in infectious disease and environmental health. And so there was more of a tendency, for example, in environmental health, we're slightly more likely to use guidance from the state agency or agency leadership to drive the resources that they were used. Not all of those were statistically significant, but you can see that some of those patterns are there. And then in terms of methods, we didn't see a huge distinction that came out across program area. You see that for some reason in infectious disease there was a less likelihood of learning about research findings through professional associations, for example. But across the other areas, there were some distinctions, but none that really came out as strong enough to be significantly different. So then you have to ask, why are there these differences? I think some of them are as you would expect, and as some of the things I've touched on. Job expectations are different for the different positions. The structures and the processes around doing those jobs differ, the need for seeking evidence in order to drive practice or fulfill the obligations of a particular job vary. In terms of program area, It might be interesting to think sort of historically and in terms of where funding is coming for those programs. So, you know, historically, environmental health, infectious disease have a longer life in public health agencies than chronic disease prevention. And what is funded in chronic disease prevention is often sought through grants. And so there are eligibility criteria and requirements for fulfilling the deliverables in many of the chronic disease grants that actually require the use of evidence-based resources. And I think we've captured some of that with the survey. Some of the implications and applications of these findings. So methodologically, for those of you that may be doing some work in public health systems research, when studying evidence-based decision-making in these processes in local health departments, job position and program area matter. So there has to be a careful selection of research participants when we're trying to capture some of these things. And then I think some of the next questions that need to be answered in terms of these data are: how do governance structure and state level factors and characteristics of the population served influence or are influenced by evidence-based decision making in local health departments? And also taking into account some of the higher level clustering. So you've got local health departments within a state, you've got multiple practitioners within the same health department. And in terms of some of the quantitative analyses, how do you account for that? And then in terms of applications, I think the most prominent relates to developing resources to improve evidence-based decision-making. These have to be tailored to the appropriate audience. There's not necessarily one size that fits all in a local health department. And this also would seem to indicate these data that more work might need to be done to reach program managers and administrators in local health departments if all staff are really going to be involved in trying to make decisions and determine the best policies and practices. And I just wanted to end here. I think this is a nice slide that my colleague Ross Brownson created. And as a researcher, I think it helps to think about why data like this is useful or could be useful. And he calls this a tale of two worlds. So you look at how local health departments learn about research findings, and then look at how researchers perceive that they most effectively reach practitioners. And that's from another data set. But when you look at those side by side, you see some big differences. So local health departments look at professional associations, seminars, email alerts, journal articles a little further down, whereas researchers think that getting a paper in a journal article is reaching the practice audience, and it's not necessarily. Things like face-to-face meetings, media interviews, press releases. And so if those of us researchers that are really interested in improving research translation, I think need to keep something like this in mind. And I'm happy to take questions.